Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We go. Let's kick the week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, I'm sure you know by now the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check out what's going on. And, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, the man with three.
So, you know, Dan, I had a, kind of an interesting question to start out for you, because I noticed this as, you know, things were going along. Can you tell me why Colin Kaepernick was kneeling during the national anthem?
I was supposed to be to, like, support Black people getting beat up by cops.
So yeah, I actually think you're right. Do you know how many people don't know why Colin Kaepernick was kneeling anymore? Because instead of focusing on what he was attempting to protest, the media focused on him kneeling during the national anthem.
Everyone confused.
So, and I did see that, you know, the United States soccer, you know, governing body got together, and, you know, they had their vote, and I guess they went through a large quantity of people before making the decision. I believe they took in over 100 ideas or recommendations before they decided this. But they have now instituted a rule that since you're playing for a U.S. national team, you're required to stand for the anthem. You know, now I understand this being, again, that it's a United States national team that you're doing this for. You know, if it was just a local team or a club team or even, you know, an NFL team, you know, trying to make people do this, I would probably have a little more negative of an attitude towards it, but since it's the United States team, I support what they're doing. Do you agree with them or disagree, or what's your take on it?
No, I agree. I mean, it's kind of like those country singers. I don't remember their names going out of the country. You know, it's one thing to talk about the president and things like that when you're in here, but to put him on blast and criticize and downgrade George Bush back when they did it, I thought was completely disrespectful, especially when it was overseas. And now no one even knows who those girls are anymore, because I forgot their names. But I agree totally.
Yeah, you know, I just thought it was interesting. And now, you know, I don't think any of the men soccer players kneeled. You know, maybe they did. I got to tell you the truth, I don't watch a lot of men's soccer or women's soccer. But I know one of the better women's players, a player by the name of Megan Rapinoe, was doing the kneeling thing. And she had said that, you know, she would discontinue doing that and respect the rule. And, you know, of course, that's, I'm sure, you know, they're going to greatly appreciate that nobody made a big deal out of it yet. But, yeah, I just... You know, if you're going to represent the country, you know, that's, you know, one of the ways I look at it. I mean, when it's your own time and your own team, you know, have at it. I mean, I don't have an issue with that at all. But Yeah, you know, when it's kind of a national thing or you know, I mean, it says United States in the team name, you know, then I think you've got to be a bit more respectful. And, you know, again, like, you know, going back to Kaepernick, I mean, I understood what he was trying to do. You know, police brutality is a, you know, a problem in this country. I actually heard a stat that said police in America kill more civilians, I think it was in a week, than police in England do in an entire year.
Yeah, but they don't.
So think about. Yeah, but I mean, even so, there's, you know, there's other ways to kill people, obviously. But, you know, it's just kind of a weird stat when, you know, you look at it like that. I mean, you know, as obviously as great as, you know, our country is, and, you know, sports is a part of what makes it great. You know, there's a lot of problems. And, you know, I understand what Kaepernick was attempting to do, but I don't know about you, Dan, but I don't feel he got his message across.
No, not one bit.
So, yeah, you know, I just, you know, that made me think of it. I heard somebody talking about it today, and it was kind of like, yeah, you know, do you, you know, that was one of the questions they asked was, do you even remember what he was kneeling for? So.
I mean, he did donate a paycheck or two, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he did back it up with his money. I mean, he, you know, as big as, you know, kind of negative that got put on it with him. You know, to be fair, he did his part. You know, he gave away quite a bit of money. He, you know, he attempted to help the best as one man can do. I mean, obviously it takes more than one person to accomplish these things. And, you know, it didn't seem to work out for him. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem was the timing. I mean, I like, I'm sure many found it awfully convenient that now he's going to stand up and use his platform for some sort of cause conveniently is wrapped up into the fact that he was being no longer the starting quarterback for the 49ers. I mean,
yeah, you know,
you know, was it about the actual cause or was it you just trying to pull a card that you didn't use before until now because you were not, you know, starting quarterback?
Yeah, you know, I always hoped that it wasn't about that. But, yeah, I mean, when you look back at it, his timing really was bad. You know, I mean, this may have been something he should have said in preseason and kind of got it rolling along. And, you know, I know, to be fair, there were some games where he actually sat on the bench during the national anthem, and oddly nobody noticed. So before he actually went public with what he was doing, he did it a couple times, and it was just one of those odd things. I saw a video, I remember, I think it was in preseason, and he was sitting on the bench while the anthem was playing. He hadn't decided to do the kneeling part yet. And, yeah, it was just kind of like nobody noticed or asked him about it because I think it was a fan video. You know, and then it caught up with him. I think it took about 2 weeks to catch up. And by then, you know, he wasn't named the starter. And it all, let's be fair. I mean, while he was trying to do something good, it all started to stink. So. Yeah, you know, just one of those things. But I found this other. You know, I don't even know if you want to call it an interesting story, but, you know, Floyd Mayweather Jr. is on a, what they call a UK tour. I don't know if he's trying to get backing for a fight with him and Conor McGregor or whatever, but he was in Birmingham in the UK. And while he was in his hotel, Dan, somebody smashed the windows on his car and lit it on fire. So I guess that's what the UK people think of Floyd Mayweather?
I mean, that's what they think of Floyd Mayweather, a soccer match or a football match against a team that
yeah.
they don't like. You know, you did bring up the fact that America, the cops here kill more in 1 week than England do in 1 year. Again, that goes back to them just being a bobby and carrying a stick.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it just seemed, it seemed kind of odd. I know he was there for a fight over the weekend. Tony, I believe it's pronounced Ballou, beat David Haye, was a bit of an upset. So, you know, Mayweather was there with the money team to watch the fight. And of course, you know, being Mayweather, you know, he's just Mayweather. So, you know, it's one of those things. And of course, you know, he's going to be there to try to promote or provoke or try to get people behind him for the Conor McGregor fight, which I still don't understand why anybody would want to see that. It's one of those situations where we've seen boxers try the UFC and none of it's worked out. I don't know why we think it would be different if a UFC guy tried boxing. So, but yeah, I just thought, you know, when I saw the article and the story, I was like, oh, that's nice. They gave him a lovely reception there like, hey, welcome to the UK, Floyd. I hope you enjoy your trip. So,
well, I mean, if he continues to kind of get that kind of attention outside of the US, I think it can turn out to be globally one of the biggest pay-per-views ever sold.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, if it actually happens, which will be very difficult considering Conor McGregor is under contract to the UFC, you know, they would definitely have to come out with something there, you know, how it kind of works out. But I don't know. You know, I know, like you said, a ton of people will buy this fight, you know, just like they did for Mayweather Pacquiao. I mean, it'll sell, you know, because, you know, any fan here is going to buy it, you know, any real fan of boxing or, you know, MMA, you know, they're going to want to jump on and pay probably the $80 or whatever it's going to cost. And, you know, you're going to get buy rates, you know, huge buy rates in Ireland because they love McGregor there, obviously. And yeah, you know, if you can continue to push it, you know, yeah, I mean, you'll break, you know, all time types of pay-per-view records. And then, I mean, God, you know, people thought the Mayweather Pacquiao fight was disappointing. Wait till they see this one. So, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, cause you got to imagine, I mean, I'm sure Conor McGregor has some boxing training involved with his UFC fighting, but he's not a pure boxer. You know, basically Mayweather's going to be able to kind of pick and choose what to do. He's going to be able to stay away from him. You can't take him down. So that's not going to do McGregor any good. You know, I mean, it's going to be just like, and you know, I'm going to date myself here again, Dan, but I don't know how many people remember, you know, Muhammad Ali actually had a couple fights against the Japanese wrestler, Antonio Inoki. You know, obviously being that it was a wrestler, they were set up a little differently, but this is basically going to be the same fight, just not kind of strategized out. So,
I'm sure Mayweather's got his plan.
You know, all I keep thinking is, you know, Thunderlips from Rocky III. So, you know, that's all I see this devolving into, you know, one of those type of things. You know, even though neither guy is huge. So, you know, just one of those fun things. I was like, oh boy, I do not want to see this fight at all. You know, Dan, you need to make it go away somehow. So, but all right, Dan, I have to ask you, you know, this was a big concern coming into today. You know, Jason Hayward was 0 for 15 or 16, but he hit a homer today. Is everything good?
Sure. I mean, it's only spring training. I think people are focused way too hard on the positioning of his hands and his batting. I think the concern as a fan is to watch the game and not worry about how he's hitting.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a little worried there when it got into double digits because, you know, to quote the line from Major League, you know, Lou Brown says, you know, he's hitting off a guy who's going to be bagging groceries next week. Those kind of things worry me when you're not hitting those guys. You know, I didn't see enough at bats, though, to know if he was hitting the ball hard or, you know, if he was really scuffling. But, of course, as you know, I get at-bat updates from Schomburg Stu in my emails. So, you know, he was a little concerned. And then, of course, the other one, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, Dan. Wade Davis made his first appearance, pitched one inning and had a bit of an explosion, gave up three runs, and his ERA is 81. So I got that packaged to me in an email. You know, you're a Cub fan, Dan. What's wrong with these people?
They're too worried about it. I mean, this is more or less what I expected from Davis. I don't expect the all-out shutout guy right away, especially.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, I listen to, you know, everybody, and, you know, and I mean, it's not just Schomburg Stu. He's just the guy I happen to get the emails from. But, you know, it's like, guys, it's one inning. Why are we going ape crazy over one inning? So.
Well, and I think the thing that sucks for Hayward is the pressure is on. I mean, it's been on since he signed that contract, but since last season, it's on.
Yeah, no, he's definitely in a bit of a hole. You know, he's gonna have to. I think the way I kind of look at it, Dan, is he's got to produce right out of the gate or else the pressure is going to get to him. So, you know, I mean, I think it's one of those. Yeah, well, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, if he comes out and, you know, if he goes, you know, say the first two games he goes 0 for 8 or, you know, 0 for 12 or even 0 for 16, you know, like he was in spring training here, you know, I definitely think pressure begins to add up on him and he, you know, that's going to be tough. So, I think he needs, you know, he doesn't need to, you know, come out and go 4 for 4 with four homers. I mean, obviously, that would be the preferred way to do it. But, you know, he doesn't need that kind of thing. I mean, he just needs, you know, even if he's 1 for 4, you know, he needs to get that first hit out of the way right away in the first game. And, you know, just kind of, you know, let the pressure go and, you know, it can start to decrease. So.
Oh, and I just think it's funny because some of the local broadcasters, you know, immediately on Saturday morning when they talked to Jesse Rogers or Bruce Devine, throwing out, oh, is it this, that, and it's like, guys, you're not watching it. So,
yeah.
Just shut up. Ask how he's doing. Don't start, you know, throwing out statistics and hand degree levels and things like that. You don't. You're not watching every single at bat. You're just reading what, you know, the guys you're talking to are writing about.
So yeah, now, you know, this was another, you know, I thought this was kind of interesting. I don't know if you saw this, Dan. Major League Baseball approved the use of a continuous biometric monitor that can be worn by players during the game. It's actually made by a company called Whoop. WHOOP, just like it sounds. You know, and they can wear it constantly. I guess what the device is supposed to measure is sleep recovery and strain on the body. And I know one of the guys from the company, from Whoop, the CEO is a gentleman by the name of Will Ahmed, said this is going to be Moneyball 2.0 for teams. So, I don't know. What do you think? You think this will help guys? Or, I mean, can't you tell if a guy is sleepy?
I think it can. I mean, this was something my wife's company actually put out there, unbeknownst to all of their staff of several hundred people throughout the nation. They gave them all Fitbits, those things that go on your wrist, and basically all that information was data that they collected on every single one of their employees. You know, just short of, I was going to say installing, injecting them with a microchip to check all their activities. So, you know, it was used. Of course, they say names were not applied to, you know, to the situation, but they knew who was sleeping better, everyone's sleeping habits. They knew everything about you, what you were doing, how you were walking, where you were going. So, I mean, this isn't new technology, so to speak, but probably with what they've got going on, I think it's an advantage. I'm just surprised that while they've incorporated this technology, why they haven't started streamlining and using some of the genetic testing that's out there. I forget what the one is called. It's a couple hundred dollars. And through that genetic testing, you can not only, you know, find out your history and where your origins are from, but through your DNA, they can essentially establish the perfect routine for you, be it workout, diet, the whole nine, how fast you recover, what doesn't, you know, everything going towards your body. So you got to wonder if that technology is involved in that at all. I think
now
but I think this would be bigger for the NFL.
Yeah, now, I guess the one thing that popped into my head, Dan, and it is in the article here, how does this affect HIPAA? You know, is that the sharing of medical information?
I mean, if you sign off on it, you're going to sign off to the authorized party for that data to go to.
But, yeah, and it does say in the article here that HIPAA does not currently apply to biometric data. I'm guessing somewhere down the line we may see this. Now, you know, a couple of NBA players actually have done this. Your guy Matthew Dellavedova, wore it for 13 games last year. And the key to the sentence here is they say without permission, and he was actually told to stop wearing it. Now, they did just find out that DeAndre Jordan has been wearing one under his wristbands during games. And all they say into the article is that the league is looking into the situation. You know, if it's something these guys want to wear to try to get better, Is can the league really do anything about it? You know, the NBA?
Not really, but I think it has to be something discussed within, you know, the contract between the league and the Players Association. I mean, essentially, when you hear that they don't want you to wear it, you know, even if it's in disguise, what that signifies to me is they don't want you to wear it because they don't own it.
Yeah, you know, that was the first thing that popped into my head was money when you started talking. It's all money related, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the issue with that is they're not privy to the data collected. And data today is huge industry. So, I mean, like with MLB, you can collectively do this throughout the entire league. You catch the name, you know, from the players, and you'd be able to sell this data for millions upon billions of dollars, you know, to show as how it works and boosting the biometrics, you know, the Whoop product, so to speak. So, I mean, it's the data that's huge. And with that, granted, it's just one guy, but the NBA doesn't have access to it. And I think that's what upsets them.
Yeah, because, you know, like I don't think, you know, I would have a huge problem. Like, you know, if they wore them during the games, you know, that's not such a big deal. You know, I might be a little leery if they wanted me to wear it all the time. You know, yeah, never take this thing off. I think that could be an issue. But, you know, yeah, if they were just kind of like, hey, you know, would you mind? If, yeah, no, not a problem there. So.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that's like a personal thing. It's not providing any performance enhancement. And maybe that's how they look at it, is just giving him the edge that all the other guys don't have. Time, any of the leagues can come out and say that. But it comes down to the fact that they wouldn't have ownership of everything.
So, yeah, and I know that, you know, this company has worked with baseball before. They created a device to measure hitting and pitching performance. So there's a relationship there with baseball that they don't have with any of the other sports. So I could kind of see them working it out with baseball. I just, yeah, you know, yeah, it's just kind of weird. I mean, we know the rule, you know, cash rules everything around me. And yeah, that just kind of seems, you know, like what? Now I wonder if they were paying Deli to wear it last year, because the article didn't say that.
That could have been part of it too.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, I think it would be something players would want to know if it could improve their performance. So maybe, you know, maybe it's something we see more guys do.
If the league allows.
Yeah. So. You know, there were a couple more injuries today. Oh, go ahead. I was going to move on, but go ahead, wrap up.
Oh, no, I was going to jump to World Baseball Classic news for you.
So, yeah, no, I just wanted to tell you real quick, we had a couple more injuries today before you get to that. Scott Kazmir had to leave a start for the Dodgers today with a hip injury. And then Rockies outfielder David Dahl hurt a rib, and all they quantified it as, Dan, is that he would be out weeks. They didn't even put a number on it. They just said weeks. So.
Well, you never know with a rib injury, right?
No, you know.
So, but just for you, Jack, you know, Israel took on Korea. They actually took the game 2-1 in extra innings. Nothing really exciting happened. You know, it's a 2-1 game. Israel won. But I had to mention this because just a few familiar players. Sam Fold from whichever team he's signed to now. I don't know. Is on Israel's team, as well as Ike Davis from the Mets, which I don't think either one is on a team this season. But what stood out to me, and here's a guy that you would want to know about, for Korea, and this is your team, Big Jack, Dae-Ho Lee from Seattle went 2-for-4, which I think will walk in a double. So there's your World Baseball report.
Did Kim Jong-un pitch for the Korean team?
No, I find it funny though that it's called the Korean team when it's only comprised of mostly South Koreans.
Yeah, well, obviously it's probably comprised of all South Koreans, isn't it? I don't think they would let any of the North Koreans play, would they?
I don't think so. You'd be considered a traitor. But I did learn today.
Yeah.
If you are in North Korea and you have information, you know, or even weapons, some kind of weapons that you can smuggle across the border. If you qualify, they will pay you almost an upwards of $875,000. I don't know what that equates to in South Korean money, but I'm sure there's a market for that.
So, yeah, you know, just all kinds of, you know. Now, did you see any of that game, watch any of that game?
No, the downside right now with the World Baseball Classic, obviously being in Seton, I think it was, yeah, Seton, Korea, it was on real early enough to where I think you might have been able to catch it, and I don't know, maybe you put it on the radio app and all that stuff. The shooting pain in my back did wake me up at about 2:30 in the morning, but I didn't happen to catch the game. I, you know, went to the website, tried seeing if they put the highlights together, but as of my lunch around 2 o'clock, they still hadn't put together a highlight package, and they wanted, you could watch the whole game right on demand if you want. We have the MLB.tv package, but, you know, a 2-1 game and a lot of players I don't know, and knowing that it's just kind of the initial round, like you said, it's probably not the most interesting.
Now, you know, I know I saw in the TV rundown tonight, there's a game at 9 o'clock today on the MLB Network. Now, obviously, that's, you know, a little too late with my work schedule for me.
Yeah.
But is that live?
Yes. It's, I think, like you said, it's was it 9:05? 10 o'clock Eastern, so yeah, our time, 9 o'clock. I forget who that is, though. I believe it's Korea. Oh, no, it's Israel versus the Chinese Taipei tonight at 9. So I believe it's live, but I don't know the time difference.
Yeah, because I, you know, like I see it in the rundown, you know, when they're talking about it, but that's the thing, that, you know, they never tell you, obviously, if it's live or not, because they want you to tune in. Regardless, and I wasn't sure, so. But,
I mean,
yeah, sadly, they're, you know, their scheduling doesn't really work well for me with those kind of things, so.
Well, then it would have been nice if they just put the highlight package together. I know it was 2-1 game, but Sam Foles went 2-for-6. Now you're rooting for him.
Of course. Who wouldn't root for Sam Foles? All right. That's what I would want to know. What kind of person would not root for him? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a ton of interest in this. Are you interested in them play?
Not really. I mean, I think maybe the final games, just to see who the best of the best are coming in. Because usually what happens after the World Baseball Classic, whoever wins, we usually see an influx of those players come into the state. So, you know, I think when it comes down to the finals, watching the Dominican team, of course, the American-Cuban team, right? I forgot how that works. I think Puerto Rico is probably strong. Mexico, you know, but those are the surrounding Caribbean countries. I don't know. I think towards the end, once you see the final game, I think that's when it'll become interesting. But as a whole, you know, there's a reason I don't watch the Olympics, because it just bores the hell out of me.
So, yeah, well, you know, like, you know, my biggest problem with, you know, the Olympics is the downtime between events. You know, if they could go from, it's kind of like the combine, you know, watching the NFL combine, there's just so much downtime that by the time they get from, you know, the next person who's supposed to be up, I no longer even care what they're doing. You know, I'm ready to just move on to something else. As long as it's, you know, baseball and it's moving like I expect baseball to move, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. I just, it would have to be a good game, I think, to hold the interest.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure, you know, the 2-1 game that's just a slow moving game, it's close. But I think if the fundamentals are there, you can see who's playing. But, you know, with the amount of guys from the America, the Israeli team that, you know, are minor leaguers in, you know, in the MLB, and all the other guys from Korea, which I do think is cool if they get to represent their country, and I think that's what's cool about it, where, you know, the Korean team literally only has Dae-Ho Lee from the Mariners. So, you know, I think that aspect of it is cool. I don't know. I like the fact that they involve major leaguers, but at the same time, I get it. You wouldn't be able to sell the tickets if the major leaguers weren't in there, but then again, I would rather see without the major leaguers.
I had to double check here. I saw that Jason Marquis made the start for Israel in that game yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So.
That made it clear.
Yeah, you know, in true spring training fashion, he only went 3 innings. So, you know, just kind of what you would expect there, but. You know, I remember I had thought I saw that, you know, he had made the start. I was like, wait a minute, he's, you know, didn't even realize he was still, you know, still hanging around. But, you know, I guess maybe he's hoping this leads to a comeback.
Yeah, with that last name, I assumed he was French.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you never know. You know, I guess you know, the pitch where you're accepted, or you play where you're accepted. You know, nobody. Yeah, you know, I don't know how they're, you know, how they're working it out. I know the name I saw. I got to know it wasn't. You know, I know they. I saw that they had a reliever named Thornton who came in. And I wanted to know if it was Matt Thornton, but yeah, it wasn't. It was Zach Thornton. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know, it's one of those things that if it was on and I was around when it was on, I think I'd watch it, but sadly it's not something I'm going out of my way to pick up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's shift some gears here, Dan. I don't know if you saw these Mark Cuban comments. Now, you know, I've always liked Mark Cuban. I've always been a fan of Mark Cuban. You know, I was behind him to buy the Cubs, you know, even though the Ricketts obviously have done a very good job. You know, I had no issue if Cuban would have bought the team. But, you know, he came out, I think it was yesterday, and he mentioned that his top 3 MVP candidates were James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James. Now, obviously, the big name missing there is the guy who's averaging a triple-double. No, yeah, well, besides Nowitzki. You know, the guy who's averaging a triple-double this season, Russell Westbrook.
But, you know, it cracks me up the other night. You know, the NBA app, I signed up for the updates and whatnot, and I got the update. LeBron just got his 7th triple season of the year. And I just swiped it and X'd it out because I'm like, I don't even, who cares? You know, I don't really care because it's 7. Russell Westbrook does that every single night. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, and not only did he get a triple-double, he did it against one of the, you know, an 8th seed or below. Oh, wow. Wow. That's just freaking amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, some of Cuban's comments, but what was interesting is, you know, I honestly think these would change if Westbrook was a free agent and wanted to sign with the Mavericks. But, like, he actually said that he's not a superstar, but yet went on to call him an amazing athlete, the most explosive player in the league and has the best motor. So it seems kind of bitter, I guess is how you look at it, but like one of the things he says that makes Westbrook not the MVP is he thinks the team has to win 50 games for you to be in MVP consideration. Now the Thunder are 35-27. They're not going to get the 50. So I don't know. How do you not give the MVP to a guy who averages a triple-double if he gets it, Dan? I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Wait, do they have votes, the owners, or is it just media?
No. It's media. It was kind of like, I don't even remember how many years ago this was, but remember how hard they tried to give Mike Trout the MVP when Miggy went for the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
You know, it seems very much like that situation where they're looking for anybody else to be the MVP. And, you know, to be fair, you know, James Harden has played very well and his team is much improved. So I could understand if, you know, maybe he sneaks in there and gets close or, you know, who knows, maybe he will end up winning it, but, you know, it's just so hard when you look at what Westbrook's doing and, you know, nobody's done it since the 70s. It's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, you take those comments and you put them on a guy, and I don't mean any disrespect, but this is more of with those comments, if you didn't put a name to it, who I think he's talking about, and that would be Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you could flip those over, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Everything he said. I mean, if you started this conversation, this segment off without a name and just said, who did Mark Cuban say that about? We're like, well, since we're here in Chicago, he must have been talking about Jimmy Butler. And then you throw at me Russell Westbrook. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I get it. The team should possibly have more wins, but when you're kind of in a rebuild without Kevin Durant and trying to figure out where everyone fits, I still think the team's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is it wouldn't even have to be Mark Cuban saying about that Jimmy Butler. It could be, you know, John Paxson or Gar Foreman saying that about Jimmy Butler. So,
yeah. Well, no, they can't say that because then they can't trade him if they say that.
Right. So, but yeah, and then the other, I just thought this was so odd. You know, I tweeted you at halftime when the Knicks had a 1-point lead on the Golden State Warriors kind of joking around with it. Now, what I actually didn't notice while I was watching the game, the Knicks in Madison Square Garden didn't play any music, didn't show any videos, didn't have any on-court entertainment during timeouts for the first half. You know, they were just trying to give the fans what they called a pure experience. And what I found interesting, and I don't understand how this affected his play at all, but Draymond Green went on some weird rant, called it pathetic, said it was ridiculous, and he blamed everything on it. Here's the quote, Dan. It changed the flow of the game. It changed everything. You get used to playing a certain way. It completely changed it to me. I think it was completely disrespectful to everyone, from the NBA senior VP of entertainment and player marketing. So now what I don't understand, Dan, is you're playing basketball. How does no music affect you? You know, you're still playing basketball, right?
Maybe the pace of play was a little too fast for him because he's used to all those built-in breaks. So now with that comment that he made, tell me that I'm a liar when I don't believe in the timeouts in the NBA and that it's all pre-organized. They know when the commercial breaks are going to hit.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, they, you know, they still did all that. You know, they had their television timeouts. It was just all the stuff in the arena that we wouldn't see on television. They didn't play anything on the video board in the first half. They didn't send the cheerleaders out there, they didn't shoot t-shirts into the crowd and all that other kind of goofy stuff they do. Just for a half, they didn't do it just to try it out. And yeah, he just went on some odd rampage. And to tell you the truth, I don't even know if I would have noticed it if I was playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, being a party outside of the Golden State Warriors, this is huge. There's nothing in contract that states a team has to provide these services and do all the in-between hoopla, all that fun stuff. I don't believe there is a contract, because I'll be honest, the Heat had LeBron James, D-Wade, and Chris Bosh playing, and the amount of stuff that they did in between, they didn't need to, because they had literally the best NBA team in the NBA. They didn't need to do all this stuff. They didn't need to get the crowd chanting Wade's name or, let's go Heat. They didn't need to do all of that, because you had the best team in the NBA. The two-time champions back-to-back, I was there to see. And then they lost the third one. But they didn't need to do all that. They did a lot of stuff in between, Big Jack. They don't do even a third of that in Chicago. So there's there's no requirements. So for me, I'm any other team going up against the Golden State Warriors, I'm going to periodically move all that stuff around just to get in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. What's weird here, Dan, and I'm going to go with this, is NBA players being lazy. Some of the Knicks, like Carmelo Anthony, called it different, and Kristaps Porzingis said it was kind of weird. Here's Courtney Lee's quote. It was kind of weird because that's home court advantage. Having the crowd involved, having the music going, and having that energy behind you. Then he goes on to say, imagine if we had that energy. You'd rather have that. It gets the fans into the game. It keeps them in tune with what's going on, as opposed to it being quiet. Now, this is why I'm going to tell you that this guy's lazy, Dan. You and I both know how to work a crowd. Why the hell does the guy in the NBA not know how to work his home crowd and get them into the game so they have that energy?
I didn't think of it that way. I mean, they would, and maybe this is why they don't bring the NBA to Japan, because this is how every game would be.
Yeah.
I know that has nothing to do with anything, but you're right. I mean, yes, we both know that wrestling is choreographed. I'm not going to say fake, because tell that to all my doctors and my doctor bills and the pain I wake up with every single day. You don't have to do it a whole lot on the big WWE level, but on our level, you had to get the crowd into it. And I think that kind of, like you said, goes across all games, all sports, all genres. You have to get them into it. And if you can't get your crowd behind you, I can't remember who it was. Just throw the Packers out there. I think what makes it so huge is the damn touchdown thing, the Lambeau Leap. That's huge. If they don't do anything else to get their crowd behind them the entire game, but they score two touchdowns and that's what they do, that's enough. That's enough to get the entire stadium to want to buy those tickets.
Yeah, I just thought, when I read his quotes, I thought, God, you're either just incredibly stupid or incredibly lazy, because those fans bought tickets to cheer you. They don't cheer because the music's on or because you're playing a video on the scoreboard. They're there to cheer you and your teammates. How hard is it to wave your arms and get them going or try to get them clapping? I mean, would it really be that difficult to do? You know, I mean, do you need the guy on the announce, you know, you need the guy on the announce mic chanting defense to get your crowd going? You know, you couldn't do that while you were sitting on the bench or something?
Well, they're professionals.
Right.
They're the elite.
Yeah, God forbid. God forbid I interact with the crowd who's paying, you know, way too much for to sit in the frickin' nosebleed sections and watching just a terrible team, you know, but they're there all the time to support us. And, you know, God forbid I show a little of that back to them. You know, I would never want to do that, jackass. So he should be out of the league. He's a moron. So.
But that, you know, that's one of the things I like about the younger guys, though. I know it, well, it kind of was a big win. I know the regular season doesn't matter. But I still think it was a
right.
Pretty
they're
good game
meaningless
for,
games, Dan. Meaningless. Oh, sorry.
I still think it was a pretty big deal that the Bulls beat the Warriors. Was that Saturday night?
Yes, it was.
Thursday night. So.
Yes,
you know,
it was.
And I believe Bobby Portis was the last one with his hands on the ball, and I mean, you should have seen that kid react. Didn't matter that. Well, they're still going to make the playoffs, but it doesn't matter that they're not going to be in that finals. But that little gesture, if he, you know, does little things like that, that's what's going to get him the love in Chicago. That's what I think got Joakim Noah the love in Chicago. And if
yes.
the guy who plays for the Knicks now was played for the Bulls these last couple of years, he would have that love in Chicago. And that of course, can be Rose. I'm sorry, but Big Deck, I watched the Knicks, and I'm like, who is this guy? Who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
He didn't play for the
so. So now, you know, I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, but your guy, and this is definitely your guy, the NBA has decided that J.R. Smith will not face any disciplinary action. I don't know if you saw this Saturday night. He came off the bench. Now he's out injured, but somehow he managed to get into a shouting match with Rodney Magruder, which has got to be one of the coolest names in the NBA. Too bad it's just not Magruber. And Dion Waiters. You know, Magruder hit a dunk. Now, you know, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving weren't playing, so it ended up, the Cavaliers ended up losing to the Heat on Saturday. But, yeah, Magruder had a big dunk over Channing Frye. And you know how it is. You dunk over a guy, you want to show him up. I guess Magruder ended up pushing him. And Smith was the one who really took umbrage with it and ended up in his suit on the court screaming at these two guys. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Dan's guy. So
I mean, why? What's the point?
You know, that's just Smith. You know, I guess maybe he was upset because they showed his teammate up. You know, I mean, I guess if you're his teammate, you're happy he did that. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, I just remember seeing the highlights of it. I remember seeing, you know, it was kind of, the NBA, the fights are never really anything spectacular. But, you know, you get the big group of guys standing around. And when I saw the highlight, I thought it was a coach. And I was like, man, one of those coaches are really upset. And then they point out that it's J.R. Smith. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, there's the tattoos. That's J.R. And, yeah, he was all kinds of ticked off. You know, maybe, you know, he's just antsy because he hasn't played in a while.
Possibly.
But, yeah, I was just chuckling because I'm like, ah, yeah, Dan's guy's at it again. But. Yeah, you know, no discipline, no fine. They're not going to do anything to him. So it just ended up being, you know, pretty much an argument. You know, the other thing I thought was funny is because it was J.R. Smith. You know, if it would have been anybody else, I may not even pay attention to it. So, but we do have a pretty full schedule tonight in the NBA, Dan. We got three games underway already. The Milwaukee Bucks at the Philadelphia 76ers. The New York Knicks are at the Orlando Magic with no Carmelo tonight. He's being held out due to left knee soreness. And the Miami Heat are at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those three games are already started. The Bucks are up 18-10. The Magic are up 22-8 on the Knicks early, Dan, and then the Cavs and the Heat are tied at 18. Pretty soon, we got a couple games that are going to start in about 5 minutes. The Golden State Warriors at the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls at the Detroit Pistons. The rest of the schedule looks like this. The Brooklyn Nets at the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trailblazers at the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a TNT night. The first game is the Indiana Pacers at the Charlotte Hornets. Then we got the Houston Rockets at the Sacramento Kings, or excuse me, at the San Antonio Spurs. Got a game ahead of myself there. The Sacramento Kings at the Denver Nuggets, the New Orleans Pelicans at the Utah Jazz, and the night on TNT wraps up, Dan, with the Boston Celtics at the Los Angeles Clippers. So it's a big night with a couple decent games. Are you surprised that Houston at San Antonio isn't being nationally televised?
It should be.
So, yeah, you know, they went with Indiana at Charlotte for the opening game. And I know they pick these things way in advance. They don't have the rotating schedule like the NFL, but I'm surprised. I mean, even looking at the schedule, you know, if these were your choices, I think you would have wanted Houston at San Antonio anyways, but I don't make the TNT schedule, so.
Well, you know, the roof is the ceiling.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Michael Jordan. That was quite humorous. I still don't. Do you have any idea what he was trying to say? He just kind of screwed it up.
There is no. I don't know.
Yeah. I was just waiting for him to start. Yeah. I was just waiting for him to start to go on the roof. You know, the roof is on fire. You know.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to work that in today.
What, the roof is on fire?
No, the roof is the ceiling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously it was nice of him to donate all that stuff to the athletic department and all those other funky things, but yeah, I have no idea what the heck he was talking about.
I think he was excited, you know, and the mics in the morning, you know, one had his comment, but the other was just basically – like, well, you would take that. You know, it's Michael Jordan. That's why he got the big applause. If it were anybody else, you know, it would have just been whatever.
So, yeah, I saw the comment, you know, I saw the video of it, and I just kind of wanted to just say something else, and it just didn't kind of work out that way, or – you know, however it was, but, you know, I mean, in reality, I mean, who cares? It's not like he did anything terrible or, you know, anything like that. I think he was just trying to be cool or nice or something.
Well, you know, everyone has their Steve Harvey moment, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we get them every day being. Oh, all right, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But don't worry, we're back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff there. Follow that link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We greatly appreciate it. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well. So look us up. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com. We'll be right back.